We're turning tonight to the book of Hebrews, the epistle to the Hebrews. And we're turning over to chapter 5, verse 1, the fifth chapter of the book of Hebrews. Fifth chapter, reading at verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. We can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. Just for a few minutes before we pray, I want to draw your attention to this seventh verse of this fifth chapter of Hebrews. Who in the days of his flesh, that is our Lord Jesus, when he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. This is a wonderful portion of the Holy Scripture. And in this portion of Scripture, we have, of course, three views of our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we see him as a supplicant. He is making supplications. Secondly, we see him as a son. And thirdly, we see him as the Savior. Now I want you to notice that this verse starts off by saying, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying with tears. That's a very solemn word. We do not have all the records in the Gospels where Jesus shed tears. Just take your Bible when you go home and take a concordance, and you'll find out where it is mentioned that Jesus Christ wept. But here in this verse, the veil is taken away. And it is revealed by the Apostle Paul here that the Lord Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. And he also offered them to his Father, who was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Now that verse gave me a great deal of trouble this afternoon as I was reading it, because it says that Christ prayed with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Because every prayer that God hears, he answers. If you don't get an answer to your prayers, well, they're not answered because it's not the will of God. And I looked at that and I said, well, the Lord Jesus there on the face of this book, before he went to the cross and died, he prayed. And he prayed with strong crying and tears to his Father, and to save him from death, and was heard. Was heard. And then I said, there's something here that I must look at very carefully. Jesus Christ did not pray that he would be saved from death in the sense that he would not go down to death. But he prayed, and notice this word before death, from death. And that word in the Greek means out of death. He would die, but God, because of a strong crying and tears that God had heard, he would come out of death. And so he did. On the third day, he rose triumphantly. Christ is not in the tomb. Christ is on the throne. But the prayer he offered in the garden was not that he would be saved from going down into death, but that he would be saved from death with all its power and with all its might. And with all its strength. You know, death didn't win the battle at Calvary. Christ won the battle at Calvary. He arose. We're here tonight because God answered his prayer when he prayed with strong crying and tears. And he prayed to the one that was able to save from death. And so he did. His Father saved him from that power of death and set him free and was heard in that he feared. So we have, first of all, the supplicant. I don't know how many times Christ prayed with strong crying and tears. It must have been very many times, because it says here, who in not the day of his flesh, but the days of his flesh. His whole life, he had this prayer that God would save him out of death. And so he did. But if you read the verse 8, you'll find something else. Christ not only appears in this chapter as a supplicant, but he appears as the Son. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. His praying was characterized with strong crying and tears. The strong crying and the tears of the supplicant. But now we come to see that he not only had those tears and cries, but he learned obedience. And he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. What did he suffer? Well, if you go back to Gethsemane, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I was reading a comment of Mr. Spurgeon on this passage, and Mr. Spurgeon says that temporarily the Lord came under tremendous pressure in Gethsemane. And instead of the blood flowing in the veins, it burst. And we read that being in agony, he prayed more earnestly and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So we have the power of the death throes on Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yes. What was he doing? He was learning obedience by the things that he suffered. The mysterious thing was that he was God, but he also was man. Perfect man, sinless man, and into his deity there was united our humanity. And so his humanity was born. He lay for the necessary time in the Virgin's womb. And then he was born. And as a little child, he wasn't placed in a nice cot and a beautiful home. He who was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No, what happened to him? He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And he was laid in a manger. Why? Because he was to learn obedience by the things that he suffered. And we see him, though he were a son, and the Son of God at that, yet he went down into the depths of learning. And he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Christ was a sufferer from the day of his birth to the day of his death. But thank God he suffers no more. His sufferings are all ended. He has entered into the glory. And we have, of course, in this text, not only the supplicant and the Son, but we have the Savior, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears, who did he pray for? Yes, of course, he prayed he'd be saved out of death, but he would be saved out of death from you and for you and for me. Thank God he took my place. He died for me. The wrath of God that was my due upon the Lamb was laid, who by the shedding of his blood for us the debt is paid. We sing a little chorus, oh, that will be glory for me when by his grace I shall look on his face. That'll be glory for me. There's a story told of a great soldier of fame, and when he came back from a most successful battle, his fellow officers decided to have a great and wonderful meal for him. And so the hour was set. The lamps were lit in the great castle where he was, and all his friends came in, his fellow officers, and they were all dressed in their uniform of honor, sparkling buckles, sparkling buttons, and sparkling cloth. But he came in with his old battle coat on him. It was stained with blood. It was torn. Some of the buttons had been pulled away in the tightness of the fight. And when he went up to the front, the whole of that vast concourse of fellow officers, with all their beautiful uniforms and shining belts and armor, they stood up, and every man pulled out a sword as their general, with the marks of battle upon him, took the seat of honor. In heaven tonight, Christ has taken the seat of honor. When you go to heaven, you'll not have a spot on your resurrection body. You'll not have a stained on the white robe of redemption that you'll wear. But Christ will carry his scars, and the scars of Christ will be seen the first day you get to heaven, and for all the countless ages of eternity, when we look up, we'll see the mark. Finest uniform that Christ could don is the uniform of a suffering. He suffered and he died for you and for me, our Savior and our Lord. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Never forget who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with tears, with crying, strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death. That is, out of death, and was heard in that he suffered. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Listen. And being made perfect, and that word is not perfection from any sin, because he never had any sin. It is being made whole. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And then the apostle Paul, he says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Oh, may we never be dull of hearing the gospel of the cross. Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget thine agony. Lest I forget thy love to me. Lead me to Calvary. May God lead us all to Calvary tonight as we engage in prayer.